Let's please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5, as we continue to go through the book of Proverbs. And again, I don't do this now because I'm in my Through the Bible reading program, but for many years I tried to do a proverb a day. And I almost guarantee you in this verse, you know, each verse is a proverb, is one of Solomon's wise sayings. I can almost guarantee you you're not going to be able to chapter and verse all these different verses, because they're just one-liners. But the way it comes back is it changes our life. When we're given an opportunity to lie or to tell the truth, there's an emphasis in this chapter and ensuing chapters that the righteous, God-fearing people should tell the truth. There's an emphasis throughout the Proverbs of not being lazy. There's the emphasis of not doing evil, not walking with those that are doing evil. All these things, and what happens, and this is the truth of the Word of God and why He wants us in it, it just starts conforming our mind. It makes us think the way God thinks instead of the way the world thinks. So that's why Proverbs is such an important book, because, and it should be read, you know, if you go a chapter a day, you get through the book of Proverbs every month. And for those that, if you lack wisdom, if you lack having your mind conformed to the mind of God, then you should emphasize reading more than what we do here. So Proverbs 12:5, just going through 5 through 7 before we get into today's study where we pick it up. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are, lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. And again, these are one-liners by God through Solomon, and they're emphasized in various different ways, even in the rest of this chapter, in the next chapter, said in the similar ways, where it's really repetitive, but it's all true, and it all needs to get into our mind. Verse 8, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. And have you noticed that even perverse people are even despised by other perverse people? Have you noticed that? It's like the whole perverse culture that we're in is all into the sexual revolution and all the perversion of the sexual revolution, but then something happens, like there's child trafficking or whatever else, and they go, oh, those perverts, you know, and there's the railing of the wicked against the wicked. And that's what this is saying. A man will be commended according to his wisdom. If you have the wisdom of God, you're not doing anything wicked in your life. And of course, then what is the world? Does the world just love God-fearing people? No. But what do they have to complain about? And again, I don't know our vice president, Pence, but I know that what did the media get on his case about? He didn't want to go. One of the things that really railed on him is because he emphasized that he doesn't go to lunches or dinners, business lunches or dinners, without his wife there. And, oh, yeah, what is this? What kind of guy? So, but besides that, when they love to get something on him, when they love to get something on you, the evil want to get something on you, but a man will be commended according to his wisdom. If you have the wisdom of God, how can they complain about what you're doing if you're using the wisdom of God? And so it would be good for us to try, and we should make it so the devil can't get other people that are serving him to hate us because of lack of wisdom in our life. Right? Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. So what it's saying is people want to, oh man, he's all messed up. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But he does have a house. He has enough money for a servant and everything else. Better that than he who honors himself but lacks bread. And I talk to a lot of people that are full of themselves and their pride. They have nothing because they've been using it to serve the devil, serve darkness. They have nothing. They commend themselves, and they're so prideful. They don't want to listen to any counsel, and they just want to review. Oh, they're messed up. But you have nothing. You have nothing because you've squandered the blessings of God because you're serving the devil instead. And the devil gives you nothing. You lack bread. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. When a cruel man is trying to be nice to his animal, he's still cruel. You know, they're best, A cruel person is going to be seen by how he treats his animal. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. So what is that fancy word frivolity? In the Hebrew, it means to be empty or worthless. So it's saying that he who follows empty, worthless thing is devoid of understanding and basically won't eat bread. So what are some applications of that today? What do you think if you were saying you're being frivolous? You're into frivolity. You're into worthless, meaningless stuff. What could that be today that could lead to hunger, lack of bread? Gambling? Sitting in front of the TV all day long? Your life revolves around entertainment? Facebook, social media? I mean, in the big scheme of things, is what the Mariners are doing, or even the Seahawks, is any of that really mean anything? How many thousands, tens of thousands of dollars do some people spend because they've been deceived into being addicted to sports? And the devil has flipped a little switch. It's basketball season, thousands of dollars. It's baseball season, thousands of dollars. It's, you know, thousands of dollars and hundreds of man hours, thousands of man hours of squandered frivolity that leads to hunger. Basically, if you're hungry, you shouldn't be doing anything. It should be getting to work with the things that matter. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. So a wicked man he's into frivolity. He just wants to be wicked. He wants to steal from other people. And when he does steal from somebody, he goes, "Oh man, you scored." And his cruddy buddies, "Oh, you scored." And, so they covet the catch of somebody that ripped somebody off. But a righteous person, how many righteous people want to rip somebody off? Nobody. So whatever they have is a blessing from God. It was received from God. By what? By the curse of the Garden of Eden. How did we get it? By working by the sweat of your brow. So a God-fearing person puts his roots down deep and says, "You know what? I'm not going to rip people off. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to lie to them, deceive them, to get my way, and to get what they have, to be a con man. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to set my roots deep into the Word of God and do it God's way, and then God brings fruitfulness of the way that we've been cursed through work, because we won't be frivolous in what we're doing, and we'll yield fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him." The righteous, we care about what we say out of our lips, right? We don't want to curse people. We don't want to curse God. We don't want to say ungraceful, hateful things with our mouth. But the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. Ensnared, he's trapped. See, the wicked is unrestrained in the things that come out of his mouth. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and a wicked person has given their heart to who? To Satan. You even look at the protesting that's going on, and you see just civilized people on one side, and you see, what do you see on the other side? You see people that are foul-mouthed, profane, violent, want to club you, etc. And that's what this is saying. The wicked is ensnared by the transgressions of his lips. They're going to end up getting arrested. They're going to end up having their lives messed with because of what they've said. How many people have lost their jobs recently by, "Let's kill Trump. I'll hold up a bloody head," everything else. They're ensnared by the transgression of their lips. But the righteous will come through trouble. Why? Because we want to dedicate our lips to Jesus. So much better. We should speak the truth in love. Can't be caught in a lie or being hateful towards someone, right? And how easy is it to stumble in our... Well, James says that the mouth is a unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God and we curse man. And who can tame the tongue? It's even like, who in the world can tame the tongue? Well, God wants to. His Holy Spirit wants to, because it only takes one slip of the tongue. Just one slip of the tongue to say something that you know you shouldn't say, and you can be caught in the transgression of your lips. Verse 15, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And in context, what kind of counsel? Once again, we covered this last week. Godly counsel. Because again, people, we live in a time where everybody, Facebook, social media, wants to counsel us on all kinds of things. But it's only godly counsel. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, and there's a lot of people that want to join with the fool in doing and in giving foolish counsel to people. But he who heeds godly counsel is wise. Well, if you want to, would you like to be a counselor to people to help people have godly counsel? We should. We should all be aspiring to help people have godly counsel when they're gone astray. They're too immature. They don't know the ways of God. Well, what does it take for us to give people godly counsel? We have to know godly counsel. How do we know godly counsel? We got to read the Word of God, and we got to study to show ourselves approved. And so just us picking up the Word of God is somebody who is, he who heeds counsel is wise. If you pick up the Word of God and say, you know, instead of running to man for what they think, I'm going to read the Word of God and find out what God says. I've had pastors tell me that they feel like in their own eyes, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. You know what, Kevin? I have a peace that God wants me to leave my wife. And, oh, really? And he was a pastor. And he did. And I'm sitting there telling him you're a pastor. I don't need to tell you what. And people just turn it off. They just reject the Word of God, and they're unwise. They're foolish if they turn off the Word of God. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. And what it means by a prudent man covers shame is he covers over an insult. In fact, somebody came in tonight and I said, so what's up? What's new, troublemaker? And they said, oh, nothing. You know, or said something. I go, wait, I insulted you. Oh, I don't care. It was just a joke. But a prudent man or woman covers shame. If we want to be wise, like what this is saying, is instead of, how dare you call me a troublemaker? How dare you call me this? Instead of doing that, which is a fool's wrath, it's once, bam, you said something. Maybe it's a husband that says something to a wife. Maybe it's a wife that says something to a husband. And you lazy bum, you're right. I have been sitting in front of this game for hours and you've been slaving away, and I really should turn the TV off and help, you know. Or whatever happens in the house. Or you can have just a wife that doesn't care that you're being a lazy bum, and then she doesn't even say anything. But a fool's wrath is known at once. If you respond, I have an anger problem. People said I need to go to anger management school. Here's anger management school. Read this proverb. Keep on reading it, memorizing it, read all the rest of them, all the stuff that's going on, because a Christian should not take offense at what, we shouldn't be quick about anything that happens in our life. Because, you know, our lives are hidden in Christ. We know who we are. We don't care what people think. We only care, if you only care what God thinks, and especially if you can handle the truth, and the truth is we're all sinners still, right? We're all still messed up. And if you, oh, really? You want me to tell you some other stuff you can be upset with me about? You're trying to push my butt. In fact, kind of goes with what Jeremy was saying. I was talking to a group of young people, and this one young girl was the spokesman of being, argumentative about the gospel. And after we'd been talking for a little while, she goes, I'm a dude. And I said, oh, okay. No, I'm a dude. So she's a girl, but I'm a dude. And I forgot exactly how she said it, but it was like, I have just a defect that, she didn't say defect, I can't remember the word she used, but so I have a defect, that's why I talk high, but I'm a dude. Okay, and just kept on the gospel message, but trying to bring an offense, trying to get us, get off message with just stirring up something that really had nothing to do, because she, just like what Jeremy was saying with the other people that were talking to him, I just felt a peace from God. This isn't the issue. They got to get on Jesus, the love of Jesus, the ministry of the gospel, because that's what changes. I could have said, no, you're not. How are you? I could have gotten all wrathful. I could have said, oh, yeah, why don't you step in here in our booth? It's raining. It's not raining. It's 80 degrees outside. No, it's raining, and it's 30 degrees outside. I could have done that, but God gave me better wisdom. So He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. The truth is always God's way. The lie deceives people, destroys those that we're lying about, we're lying to. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, rashly. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. And in a sense, we're like doctors. Just imagine all the people that go into a doctor's office. Okay, do you think that a lot of people that go into a doctor's office, a doctor could get really rash with them about their medical condition of walking in? I mean, he could just probably rip most people and, you know, how many diet sodas do you suck down? How many this, how many that? And just, you could just go off on them. Do they? No. Why? Because they want to heal them. They want to gently lead them along into a way that they could be healed. And we're the same way. We shouldn't speak rashly to people. We should speak the truth in love, promoting health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is for a moment. Now think about this. How come a lying tongue is only for a moment? Because how long does a lying lip really do its deed until the truth comes out? So people will lie, and in a moment, might be a day, might be a week, might be a month, might even get away for years, maybe even till the end of their life. They might get away with the lie, but the lie is going to be found out, and then it's gone. The lie is going to be had. But if you tell the truth, how long is that established? Forever. See, the truth is forever. Now, does that mean that telling people the truth means they always believe it is the truth? No, because people are always used to people lying. I mean, when we tell people about Jesus, if they thought it was the truth, they'd believe in Jesus, wouldn't they? But they think we're lying to them. But see, they're going to find out that what we told them was the truth. And how long is that going to last? Forever and ever and ever. See, the truth is something we should always, 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 always camp on. Because it lasts forever. The lie becomes a dead item as soon as it's exposed. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. And the people that plot evil in their heart is to just plan an evil con game. They might seem all peaceful, joyful when they're conning you, but think about that when they walk away and they realize they just sold you a totaled car as if it was a, you know, never wrecked used car or whatever else. And they have to live with that. There's no joy in there. They live a life of deceit and lies. But counselors of peace have joy. For those that speak the truth to people in their situation, you have great joy in seeing the Lord work through their life. Because God's peace, God's word, God's instruction, God's wisdom brings joy to people, and we can enjoy that also. I think, you know, and I'm going to say something controversial, but it's have we been deceived in the country about why wars have been started, etc.? Yeah, we've been horribly deceived. Can you imagine the people that, you know, and again, I'm going to go on record here Wednesday night study to say 9/11 was a deceitful, it wasn't what we were told, it was deceit. It was rooted in deceit. We were lied to about what really happened on 9/11. And it was all so that we could go over there and start a war. That's what it was for. So we could justify to the American people our desire to go halfway around the world and control what was happening over there. As a result, hundreds of thousands of people have died. Trillions of dollars of wasted money. All the stuff that's happened, can you imagine the people that actually plan these things? How do they sleep at night? Can you imagine what they think? You would have to be just full of evil to not really see what's going on. And the same thing is happening. The same thing happened with ISIS. ISIS was created to take over Syria. And now it appears, by all appearances, we're about to have a war in Syria between the big boys over that place, between Syria and Israel and Russia and America. It appears that someday it's going to happen. And you know what? From a very reliable source, we know it is going to happen. You know, Isaiah chapter 17 says it's going to happen where Damascus ceases from being a city. becomes a ruinous heap. And it really has been because of deceivers from governments all over the world. Deceivers in Russia, deceivers in America, deceivers even in Israel, deceivers all these other places. And what they want to do is manipulate us as a population, manipulate us. Did you know that it's now a fact, it's been documented fact, that these spontaneous groups that have been going around just protesting and they wear the black masks and everything, they're bussed in. They're being paid $50 an hour to be bussed in, to be dynamic and to be there as a protester. Why? So that they can capture it on TV, so they can spin us into a propaganda machine to think the way they want us to think, so that they can manipulate us and deceive us, and those people that plan all this and create all the mayhem and all the chaos and all the destruction have to sleep at night. And deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. And the devising of evil isn't necessarily just in your neighborhood, just in your county, just in your state, just in your country. This deceit is planned by Satan himself through the princes and the powers of the air to the people that plot in vain against the Lord and his anointed. That's what it says in Psalm 2. It says, the kingdoms of this world plot against the Lord and his anointed. And God laughs them and laughs at the nations that are plotting all these things. And see, because Satan is into death, he deceives some people to plot this way, and he deceives other people to plot a contrary way, and then he lets them come together and blow the place up. And that's the satanic dark world that's heading us to the kingdom of the Antichrist. And where should we be? Nothing to do with deceit in any way, so that we can have joy and peace by not having our involvement in it, and to even speak the truth about what they're doing when it comes to our attention. No grave trouble, verse 21, will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Now, has grave trouble ever overcome a God-fearing person? So what does this mean? It says that no grave trouble will overtake the righteous. So let's define grave. In God's eyes, what's grave? What's a grave trouble is your soul dying apart from him in lost eternal darkness. So if we say no separation from God for eternity, trouble will overtake the righteous. Now, does it make sense? Is it a grave trouble to go through persecutions, trials, even be killed in the name for naming Jesus? Is that a grave problem? No, because the next split second you're in the presence of God. So, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. How long? They'll be up to their neck in the flames of hell forever and ever. Again, everything about the Word of God is really written in the eternal perspective. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Again, the emphasis on telling the truth. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. A prudent man does not brag about what he knows, but a fool spouts off in the mouth, proving he's a fool. He acts like he knows everything and he doesn't know anything. And again, we can see that in politics. We can see that in all manners of ways. We can see that. And we're not supposed to be that way. Let him who boasts, boast in this, that he knows and fears God, I think is something like that, the verse. That we can brag in. I know Jesus. And actually, what the New Testament says, rather that he knows me. So that's our only boast, because then Paul says, why everything that you get, you receive, so why do you boast as if you have it? So our only boast is, I humbled myself and opened my eyes to the reality of Jesus being my Lord and Savior, and for that I boast that I know Jesus. That's the only thing that we can boast in. The hand of the diligent, verse 24, will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Unless you live in a socialist communist country in which the government will rule over the diligent to steal from them and give it to the lazy man until the whole place crumbles. Isn't that true? I mean, that's what happened. I mean, this is, again, a diligent will rule and the lazy man will be realizing I got to repent or go hungry unless the whole world's gone crazy and decided to flip the tables on wisdom. Anxiety, verse 25, in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. You know, we can get depressed. We can get discouraged in life. Bad things can happen. People get discouraged and depressed. But it's cured by a good word. So what is the good word that can make us glad? Is it the good word of a shrink at $200 an hour? No, it's the good word of the truth of the Word of God. And see, people can get depressed. What would be a good word to somebody who's depressed because they've fallen into sin and ruined their life? Yeah, you can repent. You can't turn to God. You're destroying your life. God in His wisdom would say that you shouldn't have been doing this and this and this to destroy your life. You can repent and turn to God, and He will heal your ways and heal the brokenhearted, and He can give you rest. And that would be a good word. And so I'm all for counselors that point people to the truth of the Word of God and the hope that we can have. Oh, but I can't because I have so offended God. I've so ruined my life. It's beyond hope. What's the good word? Nothing's beyond hope. God's given us all kinds of examples in the Bible of people who have murdered and committed adultery and all these other foolish, stolen, everything else that repent. How about King Manasseh sacrifices his own children in fire, leads Israel into slaughtering the prophets and filling Jerusalem with innocent blood, and yet he repents and he humbles himself before God, and God brings him back. Corrie ten Boom said this once, Wani, and I heard her say it in person before she passed. She was the woman of the Hiding Place movie about World War II. She and her family were put into prison because they were hiding away Jews during Nazi Germany's rule. And she said, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. As long as we're alive, there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. And so those are, you know, people, we live in a depressing time. You know, suicide, as Ray Comfort made the DVD, because increasingly it's an epidemic and people are checking out. And we need to encourage them with the truth of the Word of God. Verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. How many of you can say that because of friendships and, you know, when you were young in school or whatever, that a friendship led you totally astray into the world? How many here can say that there was a friend that did that? Yeah. Okay. Now, how many of you were that person that led people astray? And I look back, I was raised in a godless family, but we were still somewhat conservative in that, you know, get good grades, go to school, do this, do that. And a neighbor moved in and he, all of a sudden it's like, hey, you want to do something? Let's, you know, I do drugs and you want to sniff glue? I'll teach you how. Turns out he had never sniffed glue before, but he wanted to be somebody special. And so we started sniffing glue and started down. And my parents, if they would have had any concern, any spiritual concern for me, they would have had concern for themselves first. And they wouldn't have been so foolish as to think, not see what was going on in my life. I mean, it was so easy to see what was happening to me, but they were clueless. And it was all because of a friend, so-called friend, moving next door. Corinthians says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's telling the Corinthians, there's people that are feeding you false doctrine and false teachings on this stuff. They're leading you into immorality. And good, you know, don't be deceived. Evil company will corrupt your good habits. Be careful. And this is the most important thing to teach children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, is you have to choose your friends carefully. They've got to be God-fearing friends if you don't want them to ruin your life, the life of your child. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. Why? Because he didn't go hunting. But diligence is man's precious possession. He's too lazy to go get food. In the way of righteousness, verse 28, is life. And in its pathway, there is no death. Under the new covenant, those who make righteousness in Jesus, who are made righteous in Jesus, will never taste death. One liner I thought about this the other day, I might have even shared it already, but let's say we're going to put you in solitary because, you know, you're preaching Jesus. You can't put me in solitary. Yes, we can. No, you can't, because I got Jesus. Because Jesus is there with me. And you can't, oh, we're going to execute you. Nope, you can't do that. You can't kill me. Jesus gave me life. You can't. You can kill my tent. You can kill my body, but you can't kill a relationship that I have with Jesus that gives me everlasting life. A couple in verse 13. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Now, is that true for all fathers? A wise son heeds his father's instruction. And increasingly, I hear of fathers who teach their kids how to steal, how to do drugs, how to whatever. But again, the wise son heeds his godly father's instruction, but the scoffer does not listen to rebuke. My dad, he was telling me what to do, but I was a foolish, scoffing son who did not listen to wise counsel, and it cost me dearly. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. If you don't strive to tell the truth and work by truth, then you get hungry. You're not living in the truth. You're going to get hungry, and you're going to strive to rob, to get violence, to get your food. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. The song, "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame." Let's with the emphasis on this section of Scripture being on lying and telling the truth, let's let that be the final one here for today. Verse 5, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. So what's the biggest lie? The biggest lie is the lie of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That I get to be like God. I can call my own shots. I can do my own thing. I'm not going to answer to God. I'm going to be like God. That's the biggest lie. And we should hate that lie. And hate that lie and come to the truth. The truth is, we're sinners in need of a Savior. And if we admit that, we're being humble before God. We're telling the truth. God, I know what the truth is. I'm not a good person. That's what was so shocking about that girl I told you about on Sunday. That it was just so shocking, because you get so many people in our little game that we play, our little way of reaching to people, that everybody wants to confess they're a good person. And here this one girl was humble enough to tell the truth and to then embrace life. And so let's hate the lie, and let's not just hate the lie of the false gospel that we can live our own life with impunity in violation of God's word, but let's live our life with telling the truth about everything that we would do, to hate telling a lie. Amen? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's stand and pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the times that we can just gather, God, to encourage one another. I pray that these several verses in quick succession that speak wisdom, Lord, would sink down deep into our hearts. Lord, we want to be filled with your righteousness in a way that it comes out as you would shining through us, that we'd be slow to speak, and when we speak, it would be the truth, and we'd be slow to wrath. And though people would try and push our buttons, God, that we would remember that, God, we answer to you, and we just want to reflect your grace and your mercy to those that would be at enmity with us. Help us, God, to love the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth until you take us home. God, we do lift up the international situation going on right now, and with the Jews and Benjamin Netanyahu, and just realizing your word tells us what's going to happen in these days. It appears that the days are imminent, Lord, but however long it is into the future, we just pray for great wisdom, God, in what's about to happen and someday, according to your word, and that you would give us the grace and the mercy to keep our heads into you, Lord, and into your word during those times. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are the rock I run to. You are the hope I cling to. You are the rock I run to. You are the hope I cling to. When all hope is gone and I don't know what to do, I will run to you. When all hope is gone and I don't know what to do, I will run to you. You are the rock I will run to. You are the hope I will cling to. You are the rock I will run to. You are the hope I will cling to. I will run to you. I will run to you. When all hope is gone and I don't know what to do, I will run to you. When all hope is gone and I don't know what to do, I will run to you.
Can we all agree that's what we should do? A lot of people run to man. A lot of people run to the bottle. A lot of people run to all kinds of things. But Jesus wants us to run to him. Let's run to him when things get tough. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in his care till we can fellowship again.